allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the first thing on the agenda is election of officers. We have the chair, the vice chair, and the secretary. I talked to Lori, she would like to stay on the secretary. Anybody else have preferences that need to make nominations to where they go?
I'm new here, man. I gotta get the lay of the land.
Do you want to be vice chair?
That's fine.
Okay. I'll make a motion that I'll remain as chair, you'll be vice chair, and Lori will be secretary.
Okay.
You need a second.
I'll second it.
Okay. All favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That was very simple.
Yeah.
Any conflicts of interest with anybody? Okay. Any changes to the agenda?
We have one change, so under Amber Humphrey's quality PI update, it says information, we just need to change that to action.
Okay.
That would be to approve the quality plan for the year, which she passed out and previously sent in an email, but if you need more time, we could defer it till next month, but that'll up to you guys once we get to that point of the agenda.
Okay.
Jerry, should we introduce any members? Should we introduce any members to the board?
Yes.
Okay.
New members to the board, Dennis Walk.
Dennis Walgraven.
Judy Lebona.
Judy Lebona.
Judy Lebona, excuse me.
Welcome to the board, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining.
Can we kind of go around and introduce each other so people know who?
Absolutely. Want to start, Dale?
Sure. Dale Gowogli, Vice President with Sanford Health Network, happy to be here and welcome aboard.
Luke Skriver, CEO here at Pensacola.
Amber Humphrey, Quality Manager.
Mara Mao, HR Director.
Brianna Solheim, Marketing Director.
I'm Brooklyn Morgan, I'm the Clinic Manager.
Josiah Goldmayer, Physician.
Justin Keller, CIO.
Robin Newborn, CFO.
Thank you very much. Have you had time to review the minutes from last night?
I did, yeah, I have.
Yeah, this would be from the November meeting since we had a meeting in December.
December, yeah.
It's part of the board packet that was sent out on Friday.
Yeah. Do we need a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the November 27th.
Yes, I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Dr. Boomhammer.
Yep. Third medical staff meeting on the 17th of December. Highlights are, we did lose someone in compliance, but Lindsay Sell will be taking over that part-time for a few hours each week. Monica discussed some new behavioral health options with inpatient ER patients. There was a lab inspection that went very well. ChartSpan will be going live January. And then working on some COVID precautions, chest skin protocols, code blue protocols, IV strat. I don't know what that one is. Various protocols. Those are all discussed and approved. There are also new appointment in cardiology, Emily Garrett's. No reappointment and a termination of Dr. Gillette and Dr. Harms. Those were approved, and we will extend those for your review and approval as well.
Thank you. And we need a motion to approve.
Make a motion to approve the medical staff and give them minutes.
Second.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Doctor. Robin.
Morning. Statistics for the month of December and year end.
The kid admissions for the month, we had 11, that's 8 fewer than last December. Through the date, or for the year, we had 177 admissions, which is, was up 25 for the year, or a 16% increase. Acute patient days for the month, we had 33, which was a decline of 19 from last December. For the year, we had 580 acute patient days, that was up 51, or a 10% increase. Swing bed admissions, we had 6, which was up 5 for the month. For the year, we had 46, which was up 1 or a 2% increase. Swing bed patient days for the month, we were at 63. That's 61 more swing bed days than what we had last December. For the year, we had 453 swing bed days. That's up 143 days, or a 46% increase over last year. OPS patients for the month, we had 12, which is 4 fewer than last December. For the year, we had 129 OPS patients, which is down 28, or 18%. And OR patients for the month, we had 30, which is up 13. For the year, we had 399 OR patients. That was up 100, or 33%. Most of that was in general GIs, were up 30, which was a 26% increase over last year. Ophthalmology was up 14, which is 33% more than last year. Pain management was up 33, which is 34% more than last year. And then urology was up 32, which is 8 times more than what we had last year. ER patients for the month, we had 144, which is down 15. For the year, we had 1,650 ER patients. That is up 22, or a 1% increase. Transfers to other facilities for the month was at 20, which is an increase of 7. For the year, we had 198 transfers. That's up 40, or a 25% increase. Ambulance runs, we had 25 for the month, which is down 4. For the year, we had 375 billable ambulance runs, which is an increase of 26 over last year, or 7%. Clinic visits for the month, we had 794. That's a 208 increase over last December. And for the year, we had 8,741 clinic visits, which is up 1,224, or a 16% increase. Physical therapy for the month was down 45 units. They ended the year at 4,581 units, which is 120 more than last year, or a 3% increase. Radiology was down 22 for the month. For the year, they had 4,050 tests, which is up 158, or a 4% increase. Mammals were down 9 for the month. For the year, they had 583 tests, which is still up 24 compared to last year, or a 4% increase. And then lab for the month was up 137 tests. For the year, they had 32,383 tests, which was up 3,865 over last year, or a 14% increase. Balance sheet, cash is strong for the month, an increase of $644,000. So we ended the month of the year with just under $7.8 million in unrestricted cash. We also have funded depreciation cash of $2.5 million. So total cash is just under $10.3 million at the end of the year. The total increase of cash for the year is $1.35 million. Our current days cash on hand with both unrestricted and funded depreciation cash is at 214 days, which is up 17 days from last month. And then without the funded depreciation, we're at 162 days, and that's an increase of about 16 days over last month. Patient receivables for the month ended at, or for the year ended at just under $6.7 million. Of that, we expect to collect the net patient receivable amount of the $3.48 million, which is about 52.2% of total gross patient revenues or receivables. And then below in the liability section, we have the current portion of long-term debt at $570,000, and then the long-term debt amount of $680,000. So our total debt right now is at $1.25 million. What makes up that amount is the building debt is $1.1 million, which is will be fully paid off in February 2027. And then we still are paying on the TMS machine. That will be paid off in April 2025 or this year. That's about $8,100. And then we do the way the accounting standards work with leases. We also have to book our lease with A&B Business for our copy machines and printers. That's about $97,000. So that's what makes up that $1.25 million of debt. And then we also have a special assessment for the street out front here. That will be paid off also in 2025. And that is currently about $5,200. We have the due to third party. That's what we estimate we're going to owe back to Medicare when we file the cost report. We have $410,000 in there. We leave a cushion of $200,000 in there year round. So right now we're expecting we're going to owe back about $210,000. We did pay back about $201,000 in December. They come back with an interim rate review, and that's what we had to pay back in December. And then under deferred revenue, we had a $19,000 increase. We did receive state ambulance funds of $122,000, so that's in that amount. We'll recognize that revenue as we incur expenses for that. Any questions on the balance sheet? In the income statement, we had another good month for revenues. We had gross revenues of just under $2.7 million. That's $98,000 better than what we had budgeted for the month, and $196,000 better than last December. For the year, we ended with gross revenues of $32.6 million. That's $1.5 million better than what we had budgeted, and $1.4 million better than last year. Inpatients ended the revenue $89,000 higher than last year. Outpatient was $584,000 better than last year, and clinic revenues were up $735,000. Contractuals for the month were just under $1.4 million, which is 51.9% of total gross revenue. Year to date, or for the year, we have $15.2 million, which is 46.6%. percent of total gross revenue. We had budgeted 44.5%, so we're running about 1.1% higher than budget, and then last year we ended at 47%. So currently we're at 0.4% lower than last year, but with the audit and everything, that amount still might change, so we'll see. total expenses for the month were just under $1.4 million. That's $28,000 less than what we had budgeted, and $169,000 higher than last December. Expenses for the year are at $17 million. That's down $72,000 from what we had budgeted, but it is up $808,000 from last year. As a percentage of gross revenue, this year we're at 52.1%, and last year we were at 51.9%. So very similar to last year as far as percentage-wise. We ended the month with a negative EBITDA of $7,633. That's $71,000 worse than what we had budgeted for the month, but it is up about $100,000 more than what we had last December. Year to date, we still show a positive EBITDA of $1.27 million. That's up about $500,000 from what we had budgeted, and up $300,000 compared to last year. We showed a net loss from operations for the month of $104,000. However, year to date, we still show a positive net income from operations of $94,000. That is $415,000 better than where we were at last year. And then we had total non-operating revenue for the month of $181,000. Most of that was interest income. During the year, we estimate what our interest income is, and then at the year end, we get the final numbers from the courthouse and book the difference. So the difference was about $152,000. So the $182,000 is interest income. We did show a net income for the month of $77,690. That's $100,000 better than what we had budgeted. but $28,000 lower than last December. Year-to-date, we showed positive net income of $554,000, which is up about $825,000 compared to budget, and $174,000 higher than last year. Questions on that? And then our AR aging report, total AR days, we ended at 71.3 days for the year, which was down 1.5 days compared to November. For the hospital AR, we're at 73.4 days, which was down 1.3 days. And then the professional billing AR was at 57.4 days, which was down 1.9 days. And then the AR and CPSI, that decreased $5,700 to $278,000. And then the not released was up $408,000 compared to November at $601,555. Charity care write-offs and bad debt transfers and recoveries. Not much activity for the month of December. We did have bad debt recoveries in the amount of $258. And then the capital expenditures. We purchased the 3 exam tables for the clinic area at a cost of $19,313. And then we also purchased the vitals monitor for the clinic in the amount of $5,661. And then just for your information, we hadn't presented the vital monitors before to the board, but since it's under $15,000, it's for its information only. And then we'll need your approval to purchase a new life pack unit for the ambulance. This was one request that Jenny had to use the state funds for, because right now their life packs are only running on one battery. So they use them on every run, so that's why we feel this is a need. And that cost is $80,817. Any questions or your approval on both the financials and the asset?
If not, we need a motion to approve the financial report. And then we need a motion to purchase the life pack.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the financial report as presented.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
And then I'll also make a motion to approve the capital expenditure of the life pack at $50,817.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you.
All right, good morning again. Just for Dennis and Judy, welcome again. The numbers that Robin probably went over were kind of probably chaotic at this point, but we'll take some time and go through them. So I appreciate you sitting through that, but they'll start to make sense more as we move forward. But we'll get you some orientation through those numbers and what they all mean. My report's in your packet. Just some highlights. So Dr. Goldhammer was here presenting today. In his new role as chief of staff. So we elect a new chief of staff annually at our med staff meeting in December. In the last couple of years, we've only had Dr. Klingler, so we've not had the vice chief of staff. So it was nice that we actually had options this year. Good conversation, but Dr. Goldhammer is now our chief of staff, and Dr. Sanchez is gonna be our vice chief of staff. And I think they'll work in collaboration and kind of share some of the duties, which I think will be good for both of them moving forward. Just wanted to highlight, the Southwest Minnesota Private Industry Council, in partnership with the county, is going to be offering interns again this summer. So we had 3 interns last year, which I thought was really good. And just doing a lot to promote the program, and if there's college kids that are interested in coming back to the county, we encourage them to apply for the hospital. We think it's just a great opportunity to show them what we have available, but also get them back in the community. So we're encouraging our staff and community folks, if they know of somebody, to get them to apply. We have to hold an annual critical access meeting, and that is scheduled for February 6th. Generally, we have one board member that attends that meeting. Lori did attend last year, so I'll leave that up to you guys if
Lori said she would be interested or she could attend on that date. But if someone is interested, we can do that as well. We did have Dr. Abid Alazim. He's a stroke neurologist from Sanford Health. Came and did a lunch and learn with our providers last Friday. He's the gentleman that's on the other side of the TV when we call in the ER, that when somebody's having an apparent stroke or has had a stroke, it helps our team work through it. So it was nice to have him in the room just kind of talking through how he would handle things, or if he would see somebody in the clinic, or if we see them in different settings, what the processes should look like. And I thought it was a really good conversation. Mm-hmm. And when you have an opportunity, have a stroke neurologist come out and have lunch and learn with you, we're gonna take it every time. So great resource through Sanford there. We mentioned ChartSpan, our Dr. Goldhammer did, a new chronic care management program that was introduced at the beginning of the month. So it's basically designed for chronic care patients. You talk about that more in front of the name.
We have a contract with ChartSpan, which is a company that provides chronic care management. Chronic care management is a Medicare program, basically. So it's a program where they will be in close contact with an individual who qualifies if the patient chooses to enroll. So it's completely optional. They have a 24/7 nurse hotline, and then they're able to assist with scheduling appointments, requesting refills, arranging transportation if needed, or any other requests that the individual might have. They can also provide triage services, so if our clinic is closed and an individual has an acute need after hours or in the middle of the night, they can call that line and speak to a registered nurse and receive guidance whether they should go to the ER or whether they could wait to maybe be seen in clinic or discuss their condition with their provider. So they've been reaching out and making phone calls to our patients on behalf of our providers in our clinic. So if a patient has a primary care provider in our clinic, they've likely received a phone call from somebody with ChartSpan. And then ChartSpan communicates closely with our nursing team here and sends reports to us if a patient has a need, and then we will reach out from there.
Very good. You did much better than I would.
And the hope is this is going to reduce some of the ER.
Yep, so ideally it's going to reduce some of that chronic people coming to the ER and needing to see the physician multiple times just to free up space in the clinic, those types of things, but also get the appropriate care at the appropriate level. That's really kind of what we're looking for. So, and there's 100 and how many people?
I think it was 105 they had currently enrolled, and then they're reaching out to actually speak with those patients and complete time speaking with them.
This is an before it could be available.
Yep, it's available via telephone.
How do they get enrolled?
So they are reaching out to contact those patients and ask if they have interest and explain the program, and then the patients can choose to enroll via that telephone call. We are sharing data with them through our contract, so they know who our patients are, essentially.
My husband's had two of those phone calls, and they won't talk to me, so and he hasn't been available.
Next bullet point there, master planning. So we are working with Krauss Anderson to do master planning for the facility. Just for the new folks, we haven't done a lot of that since the renovation project back in 13. So this is kind of what we're looking at for next steps of continuing to improve the facility, but also potential renovations or improvements or expansion, those types of things. So it'll give us a better idea of what the facility needs, what the market needs, moving forward, so we can kind of start planning from a financial and a capital improvement standpoint. So we went through one session in December, and then the next session that was planned for next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, they'll be on site for 2 days. And they're gonna be meeting more just with each individual department to get their each individual needs, and then we'll continue to develop the plan. We're hoping by about June or July that it'll be finished and we can present it to the board. Financials, just want to highlight a couple things. We go through our insurance renewals, which is always kind of an interesting topic Robin and I get to do right before Christmas or New Year's. This year it was positive, so we actually saw our insurance renewals go down by about 12% overall, which is great. When we're seeing just some of the catastrophic things that are happening in the world, insurance isn't getting any cheaper. We know our liabilities just for our roof went up $100,000 just for our deductible. So to keep those costs as minimal as we can is always a goal. We're also looking at the Rural Hospital Stabilization Program. It's a free funded program through the National Rural Health Association.
So there's allotted federal dollars for that program, and they select about between 10 and 17 facilities annually for this program. It's to help introduce new service lines, but also get new equipment and things like that in place for rural facilities. There's about 400 facilities that apply, so it's a long shot by any means, but figured we have to start somewhere, and it doesn't hurt for us to apply. And then the last thing I had on there was the legislative session kicked off on Tuesday, January 14th. In my own opinion, it might be a little bit messy, the legislation this year. I will keep you guys updated. Some of the highlights, obviously, is the Minnesota Hospital Association, which is kind of our association that represents us at the Capitol, put out a flyer of kind of legislative priorities. One of the bullet points to just in the past year, two-thirds of Minnesota hospitals had negative operating margins, and the median margin for all hospitals was a minus 2.8%. So obviously for an industry, that's not great. So they're gonna be really pushing for an increase in Medicaid reimbursement. The last time that's been rebased was in 2019. So it only captures about 68.5% of our costs currently. And if you know from 19 to today, inflation and cost have really increased, so we're really not where we need to be. And then workforce, it continues to be a challenge for all healthcare. So the more programs the state can put in place as far as loan reimbursement and program growth and some of those tech roles is another focus. So as we get moving, hopefully we get moving at the legislature, I'll continue to provide those updates for you guys. But that's all I have. Unless you have questions for me.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Judy and Dennis, welcome again. My presentation, the extended presentation, is on your table here. For Dennis and Judy, this is an opportunity. I provide some information on Sanford organization. It's also an opportunity for you to ask questions about anything that you've heard about Sanford or clarifications you'd like. So welcome all questions from you at the same time. So this is a little more granular than most of my reports, and we'll talk about it here in a little bit. So at the end of the year, Prairie Lakes in Watertown signed an affiliation agreement with Sanford. I've talked about that, I think, at this meeting in October. The Marshfield Clinic, an organization of hospitals and clinics and nursing homes in Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, joined us at the end of the year. And then the Black Hills Ortho and Spine Group, a fairly large ortho group in the Black Hills, has joined us as well. So that's the larger organization. Luke and I talked about 911 cellular on Monday when I was here, and this is about employee safety, and it's an opportunity for employees at each workstation, at each computer. I think there's three keys that you push, and then immediately you notify others in the organization or within the facility, within your pod, that there's an issue in front of you or close to you. And, Justin, I don't know if you've been pulled into this or not, but it's really IT based, and we talked about that. And employee safety is a big deal. I talked about this before. I have the Sanford Clinic in Mitchell, and one time here a few years ago, Child Protective Services came in and took a baby, and they probably needed to do that. But if you think about how many people are packing weapons now, and the emotion that would be involved with someone coming in and taking a baby, bad things could happen. And so we need to be looking out for our employee safety. And further illustrate, I go down rabbit hole a little bit here. I was talking to the pastor of the church one day, and I asked him, how many people do you think are carrying in any given sermon? He goes, probably about 25%. Think about that. That's probably true in a clinic visit as well. So employee safety, Red River Transport, some of you heard before, we got the meeting started. This is an opportunity. Ambulance transfers are getting more and more difficult. It's getting more difficult to staff ambulances all the time. This is a private organization, Red River Transport. They're based out of Fargo, but they have a hub, if you will, around the Sioux Falls area. Luke's not needed, the facility's not needed to use them, but they're there if we need them. So I wanted to mention that. Legislative initiatives, Luke talked about the Minnesota legislature just getting started. South Dakota's the same way. North Dakota as well. 340B is a drug program that we'll talk more about as we go through the year with the new board members here. But it's very important to rural facilities. A lot of times, a rural facility's net margin will be almost to the dollar what 340B provides to the facility. So it's very important that we maintain that program. This is Pharmacy Benefit Manager. This is for Sanford employees. We use a group called Unum right now as our PBM or Pharmacy Benefit Manager. we're looking at using a different group, maybe saving some dollars, just like what Luke's done here and the leadership here with your insurance. We're looking for places where we could cut costs but maintain service. And then teleradiology, this is the other Sanford facilities. I don't believe you guys use VRAD, do you?
We do, just not through Sanford.
Oh, did you? So you didn't get fired, right? VRAD fired us, and I say that in humor. VRAD approached us a couple months ago and said, we're just not able to service you. And we've been having some service issues. And they also approached some other large health organizations that use them. The V is virtual radiology. We were using them for after hours, evenings and weekends to read stack films. And there was times when we were waiting longer than we should have been. And we were already looking for alternatives. So when they approached us, we were kind of like, well, this is not all a bad thing. So the 1st of April, we'll be using our own radiologist to cover nights and weekends. So that's what I have. But again, any questions, and that's not just from the board, but the audience as a whole. If you have questions about Sanford, certainly welcome those at this time.
Thank you, Dale.
Hi, good morning. So I'll give an HR update. For December, we had a retirement in the kitchen. One of our cooks retired. We had a retirement for nursing, and then we also had one of our ambulance members also quit. For new hires, we had a new RN start as a casual, and then we did hire a new EMT. He is currently in school, so he's a driver right now, but will become an EMT after he completes that course. We did add a new position at CNA's to kind of help our nurses, kind of relieve some pressure from them. So they'll be working from 9 to 9. We did have one start last week, and then we had one accept an offer late last week as well. So we have two of them starting, and then potentially another one coming on board. Monica Venarlu started an LPN program with Minnesota West, so she's going to help be an instructor one day a week, and they are on site actually Wednesdays and Thursdays. So today it was actually their first day. So we have 7 students in that program, and they're on site. So hopefully we can kind of retain some of them as future staff members down the road. We also are starting a tuition reimbursement program. So it's up to $15,000 in tuition reimbursement for RNs that are currently going to school. So we'll be going live with that shortly. And then Luke mentioned the internships. So we're excited about offering internships again for this summer. Hopefully we can get a few more students on board. Travelers, we do have 2 travel nurses right now. And one is going to be extending another 12 weeks after they're done in February. So hopefully we are able to grab another one just to help relieve some of that shortage that we are needing. And then career fairs, I've been attending a few career fairs, a couple high school ones, and then I'm planning to go to SDSU on Friday for a nursing career fair. And that's my update.
Thank you. Any questions?
On that RN reimbursement program, is there any stipulations on that then?
So they have to be enrolled in an accredited school, and then it's up to $15,000. And it's going to be basically they will have to show us proof that they're in school, and we would pay directly to the school and reimburse them for that.
But then it's also tied to years of service as well. So
yep.
How many years of service?
So it's 6,240 hours, just because nurses kind of can work varies of different hours per year, prorates and things like that. So it'd be, based on 6,240 hours, which will be probably 4 or 5 years, just depending on how many.
That's good.
How many hours they work.
Thank you.
Yep.
When are you going to start that?
Hope to go live soon, like this week, hopefully. Yep. I'm hoping to present it to the, when I go to the career fair as well, as hopefully we can grab some of them. So.
How many vacancies in nursing right now?
I think we're still like 4, I think. Mm-hmm.
And that's all over.
Right.
Yeah. We also have some upcoming maternity leaves and those types of things, so we're trying to fill in the best we can.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Okay, you guys should have my report in yours. Over the course of November and December, our Facebook views were at 138,200 and our reach was at 20,600, which is a slight decrease, but we were pretty busy the months prior. And then our posted decreased by 14.7%, but there was still 58 posts going live. Instagram, our reach was at 816, which is an increase of 211.5%. And our content interactions decreased by 31.3% at 57. LinkedIn, our impressions increased by 14.7% and our reactions increased by 73.1%. Our post on social media, you can see all the different ones in there. I won't list all of them, but our monthly email campaign had an open rate of 50.75% in November and 38.24% in December. I did a Spotify campaign, and for the time frame of November to December, we received 21,295 impressions and reached 5,550 people in the months of November, December. Our largest audience for that was 18 to 34 year olds, which is kind of the age group we've been trying to figure out how to target a little more accurately, so I was happy with that. Our website had 3,100 active users and 6,400 views and 18,000 events, which includes people clicking on the website, hitting different tabs on the website, anything like that. With Google, I trialed their advertising, and our search ad campaign had 336 impressions and 37 clicks to the website. And our display ad had 12,600 impressions and 162 links to the website. For newspapers, we highlighted our providers, respiratory therapy, diabetic ed, flu shots, pulmonology and nephrology, and then some stuff with the holidays going on. Radio advertising for November and December was for diabetic education. We did a general ad that included a patient quote for one of it, and then influenza vaccines. Current happenings, it was in November, I believe, Bumgars holds an annual ladies' night, and every year they donate 5% of all the sales from that evening to a local medical center or ladies' organization. We are the local recipient for that, and we received a check for $728.54, which I think, if I remember right, was about $200 increase from last year. We held the hospital Christmas party here a couple weekends ago, and we had a great turnout, and so far we've had good feedback on that. And then we are looking to host the Lyon and Murray County CEO program here in February to kind of go over how everything runs and give them a tour of the facility. We were going to try and take updated pictures, but I think we're going to postpone that maybe until Lori and...
It's, yeah, it's up to you guys. If you want your picture taken today for the website, send it in.
But we could do that next
month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jerry might be gone, so he might want to get his picture.
You can sue for a post.
But otherwise, that's what I have. Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any questions?
All right, hello. I have a lot of stuff for you guys here. So I'll first start with this one, our Quappy plan. So this is for year 2025 here. So essentially what the Quappy plan is kind of a setting of priorities for the hospital in regard to performance improvement and just quality measures. So the main kind of part in this I want you guys to review, we certainly don't have to motion today if you want more time to review it, but the major focuses there are reducing 30-day readmissions, falls.
Which major?
Oh, I'm sorry, 7. Kind of go to your appendix. Appendix 1 and 2 is where I'll be at here. There were some additions from last year. Emergency department transfer communication, that just talks about when we transfer somebody from our emergency room to another, you know, higher level of care, that we ensure that they are getting all the information that they need to properly be ready for that patient and take care of that patient. Let's see, that's on page 8, page 9. Hospital outpatient quality measure ED throughput. So that is just looks at how long our patients are in the emergency room. It's been found that, of course, the longer a patient is in an emergency room, the worse patient outcomes are. So that's a standard that we look at and we measure each quarter. And then you'll also see in red, I do have our kind of where we're at currently with those measures. Some data I don't get until later on So some of these, some of the information is from like either quarter two or quarter three. And then patient left without being seen is another measure that we look at. And then we also have department measures. Each department picks a metric that they want to improve within their department. And that is kind of based on what department manager and the members in that department feel they need to improve on. And then the second appendix just looks at the clinic kind of priorities. So I won't list all of those here, but you can see those as well and the data on those. So that's kind of the main summary of what the copy plan is. So we can certainly, if you guys want to review that and approve it at the next session, or if you are okay with approving it today.
I think let's give our new members a chance to review it.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. It's a lot. It's a lot of information. So.
Especially when it's your first meeting.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
No. Thank you.
Okay. So I'll let you guys review that then. And then the other handouts I have for you. So looking at this second one here, our health equity strategic plan. So CMS requires us now in year 2025, and then I will report on it in year 2026. We have these certain domains that I have to attest that we are, showing that we provide health equity and we give, equal care to all of our patients. The very first domain talks about how we incorporate health equity into our strategic plan. So I kind of made a separate strategic plan, almost as kind of an addendum to our actual strategic plan. Just because it is kind of totally separate from kind of what our strategic plan is. So, and the main goal with this, of course, is just looking at where our priority populations are, where just thinking about health equity, there's kind of different ways to look at it, whether it's, race, gender, age, or even just social drivers of health. So like, if somebody doesn't have the money to buy gas to come to their appointment, or they don't have money to buy their medications, that kind of thing. So this is just kind of a very broad overview of how we are going to address that. So that's kind of the short and long of that. Yes, if you guys can look over this as well. We can get approval next month on that. Okay, and then the last one, I don't need approval on this. This is more just for your information. I just compiled, so NRC is the vendor that we use for our surveys. So we have to send out surveys for our hospital inpatients, but then now starting this last year, 2024, we started using NRC as a new survey vendor. So our clinic patients get surveys, our ER patients, and then all of our outpatients too. So like physical therapy, lab, all of those patients are getting surveys as well. So I really like NRC, and it's nice that I am able to compile the data. So for those of you that are not familiar with NPS, so we kind of focus on the NPS score, which is the Net Promoter Score. I did put a graphic down below on the very first page just for you to kind of see what an NPS score is. So it's essentially your percentage of promoters minus your detractors. Your promoters are those patients that are rating your facility 9 or 10, and then your detractors are your 0 to 6. And so that's how you kind of get this NPS score. So you can see at the top kind of how our NPS score has gone throughout the year. So really stayed above 70, which is really great. And this is compiled across the facility. So this includes clinic, hospital, all of the entire facility. So, and then it's kind of laid out more different departments of where those scores are at. And then the next page just looks at kind of benchmarks of where, looking at our data against kind of other facilities across the NRC database. So the orange lines are the benchmark, and then the gray line is where we are at. So really, in most of the areas, we are either at benchmark or exceeding benchmark. And that is all for the entire year of 24. And then the last page looks at HCAHPS. So HCAHPS is just focused on, so this is what I referred to earlier. This is the federally mandated survey that has to be sent out to our hospital inpatients. So this is HCAHPS data kind of separately for you guys to see. And then it kind of separates out, you know, domains of care transitions, communications with doctors, nurses, looking at our scores, and then against the benchmark, that orange line there. And this is throughout 24 for you to look at there. So a lot of information that you can certainly kind of dive into. It's pretty interesting, though, just looking at kind of where we sit with those numbers. So, and then also just kind of as a addition, with those surveys, patients have the option to comment on their care. And so anytime I do have a comment, that's maybe there's a time where we could try and work on some service recovery, I do reach out to those patients and try to make sure that, you know, they understand that their voice is being heard, and we will try our best to, you know, remedy the situation internally, and, you know, do what we can do to make sure that, that doesn't happen again, and if we need to take other measures to ensure that patient's heard, we do that. So.
What kind of response do you get from that?
it varies. I mean, there are some times where it takes a while just to ensure, you know, maybe it's talking with the provider and figuring out, you know, maybe we need to go this way with their plan of care kind of thing, or just talking through that. I've definitely listened to a lot of webinars on how to talk through those times, because sometimes, you know, you kind of reach a point and then, you know, it can be challenging. I think sometimes if people just can't really find a solution, that can be challenging. So there's times where I talk to Luke about things if I have to bring him in. But most of the time it's pretty good. You know, we can find a solution together and work through that. So.
And 95% to 99% of the comments are positive. So
those are
to share. So we get a ton of comments that we get to share with providers and the staff, and just to see that those are the fun ones, and then Amber gets to deal with the rest of them. So.
Yeah.
But they're very minimal.
They are very minimal, and it is kind of nice. I think I send all the comments out every 2 weeks to all staff, and I think it's just a great morale boost to just, you know, see that what the community is saying and the good things that people, the good experiences that they're having here. So.
Okay. Thank you very much, Amber.
Mm-hmm.
Monica.
Monica is working on the floor with not having enough nurses. So that's the last page that I gave you. It's just her couple updates. But cardiac rehab has been really busy. So generally we do cardiac rehab on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. They've had to do overflow on Tuesdays and Thursdays, which Mary's able to accommodate, but we've been busy in the cardiac rehab area. And then just probably the other highlight is we hosted the Sanford simulation truck in November. So that's something that Sanford brings on site. Just gives us an opportunity for staff training on scenarios that we don't see every day through the ER and through the hospital. So it's complete simulation, and it's a good opportunity. So if it's, sometimes it'll have to do with, you know, ER birth or something like that we don't deal with, but it's something that we need to be prepared for. So I'm not quite sure what was in November.
We went through chest tube insertion, and then we also talked about, a lot of times they'll do, you know, certain trauma, and then we go through that whole trauma scenario. And then, we went through chest tube. A lot of times they will talk about pediatric cases, and I really enjoy that just because, you know, you don't really see a lot of that. And so it's really nice just as a refresher to go through that information.
So that's something that Sanford provides twice a year, so we try to take advantage of that when we can. It's another good opportunity and resource. So I think that was the main points of her update there. So that's all we had.
We probably need a motion to table the quality thing till next meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And then next meeting dates. Anybody got conflicts other than me? I'll be calling in February.
So for Dennis and Judy, generally we've met the fourth Wednesday of the month. Just fits into from the financial calendar, we can get things done, and then it fits minus the county commissioner meetings as well. So as long as you don't have any issues with that date, it works best for the facility and the other. But okay, and then 8 o'clock still works good.
Yep.
Okay.
Hey, with that,
yes.
With that, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, guys. If anybody wants their picture taken.